Things of love in Jesus' precious name this morning. I was sitting here this morning and again, just reminded how I miss worshiping with you. And it's special to be back again today. Not that I'm standing up here, but that is one thing I have missed, is worshiping with you here. And appreciated the devotional thoughts this morning that Brother Tim shared. And I trust that the coals from off the altar have touched my lips, that whatever I say this morning would be what God wants me to say. And His Spirit can work in our midst. We have a special time today, and I have heard it questioned already why we have council meeting. But the Bible says to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And that's what it's for today. It's to take an inward look. It's to take a look at myself. It's for us to stand in front of the mirror of God's Word and just examine ourselves whether we'll be in the faith. I'd like to just first of all here this morning go to Mark chapter 15, and I want us to point our eyes towards Jesus and what He has done, what He did on Calvary. We are this morning doing this in preparation of the Lord's Supper. And of course, all of that is focused around the death and suffering of Christ and what He has done for my salvation. And I just want to make this forefront in our mind today. Mark 15, begin reading at verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. This is the story of when Jesus died. And I'm not sure which verses I was looking at earlier, but the ones that I was after said that the centurion stood by, and when he saw when Jesus died, his comment was, Surely this was the Son of God. And this morning, when I have a cross experience, when I have experienced the cross, then the reality of the sonship of Jesus Christ is real to me. The cross of Jesus Christ we are called to take also. We are not called to stand by as the centurion did and view Christ on the cross and just watch Him die, but we are to take up our cross also and follow Him, and to crucify the flesh, and to take on the experience of Christ. And this morning, because of that experience, have I said, truly, this was the Son of God. There's a beautiful hymn that we sing sometimes, called Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken. And I'd like for you to sing with me at least the first stanza of that song. this morning here at the beginning, and let's prayerfully sing it, because there are some things in the song that I think is good for us to think about. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Naked, poor, despised, forsaken, I'll my hands, I all shall be. Every fond ambition, all to sought or hoped or known, yet how rich is my condition, thou my heaven are still my own. I trust that we have continually chosen to take up the cross and follow Christ, and letting nothing in the way of taking that cross off, even though as hard as it may be at times. This morning, moving on for a message, I'd like to turn back a few chapters in Mark chapter 4. We know that Jesus taught many things by natural illustrations, and he used nature in a lot of ways to plant spiritual truths in our minds. And this story, this parable here, is of the sower, how he sowed the seed. And we know that a farmer must prepare the ground. He must also maintain the ground to gain a successful crop. We know also that effort put into maintaining and preparing the ground has a direct result in the yield of the grain or the fruit. And the truths that Jesus is trying to teach us here is that these truths are also very true in our spiritual lives and our heart condition before Him. That as we prepare our heart, as we maintain our relationship with God, it has a direct relationship on the fruit bearing that I have for God. There are some that try to get by with as little as possible, cut corners where they feel it doesn't make much difference. They don't feel like the effort put into cultivating maybe is as important, or spraying, or whatever other maintenance there needs to be, or preparing the soil. Maybe barely get it prepared. And we know the results of that. We can understand the natural results of that. And there are also others that are very careful and spend much time and effort in preparing the soil and go to great means to cultivate and are very particular and are careful that there are no stones or thorns, as this parable illustrates, and are very diligent about that. And we also can understand the natural results of that, how that also has a bearing on the fruit, the yield of the fruit at the time of harvest. We know it does take water, it does take sunshine, it takes nutrients to make plants grow. But I'd like to remind us that you can have water. God can send the rain. God can send the Word of God. He can send sunshine. He can send nutrients. But if the ground, if the soil of my heart hasn't been prepared for the seed, if I don't maintain it, if I don't cultivate it, I don't nurture it. These other ingredients do very little to make the seed come up. And as we are here today in looking at my own life and my relationship to God, my relationship with my fellow men and with the church, I believe very strongly that today Satan is very interested in letting the fowls of the air carry the weed seed and dropping it into the field of the cultivated heart. There is deceptions that are easy to follow today. There is all kinds of winds of doctrine that are blowing the curtains of the church. And dear brethren and sisters, today we must be careful that we follow the laid out plan of New Testament Scripture. And we must be willing to have a soft and humble and pliable heart. I want that for myself. And I want each of us to have that. Because in the latter days, Jesus is coming again. And he's going to come for the faithful church. And my burden this morning is that maybe let's not look so much at the brother on the bench beside us or the sister on the bench beside us. But let's get the mirror out and let's look at my own heart condition. And let's see if there's thorns in the ground. Let's see if there's stones that need to be plucked out. And sometimes we can have our feelings wrapped up in things that are said, the way something was done, and I'm not excusing those things. That needs to be addressed. But finally this morning, dear ones, we must look at our heart. Otherwise, there's no other way that we will be faithful. And I want to be faithful at that myself. I do. I want to read this, Mark chapter 4, the first 20 verses here. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, in hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world, And the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Here there are four soil types that are representative of the heart condition of man. Jesus gave this parable for a reason. In verse 9, he said that he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, he's saying that I said this and pay attention to what it's meaning. And when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, I am not sure what it means in verse 11 and 12, that seeing they may see but not be converted. And to me, that almost seems like Jesus is being harsh to those that they don't really have a chance. And this morning, Brother Tim read Isaiah 6:10, where Isaiah was supposed to preach to these people so that their heart would wax fat and their ears would be dull of hearing, so they wouldn't be saved. But I think the very truth he's trying to say here is that those that have a desire for truth will find truth. Those that are simply going through life for the ride are going to be ones that will fail. And this morning, I guess I would really like, in my own heart, to examine whether or not I really love the truth. Is it really real to me? Is the cross of Christ real to me? When Jesus was walking that day on the road to Calvary, Simon was coming out of the country, and he was a lowly farm worker that possibly was coming out of his field. And it says there that they compelled Simon to carry the cross of Christ. And it's a very short story in the whole story there of Calvary. But that has impressed me very many times, that a lowly man, you can imagine with me the stigma of carrying a criminal's cross. There wasn't any swagger to Simon when he was carrying that cross. It was serious business. He was carrying the death instrument of another man. It wasn't going to be one of the priests. It wasn't going to be one of the Pharisees that carried that cross. It was going to be a lowly person. It was somebody that maybe didn't really matter that much. There are so many scriptures in the New Testament where we are called to carry the cross. And that means on Monday and Tuesday and the rest of the week. There is somewhat of a stigma. Maybe in America, it's a different stigma than it was in the early church, where they were beheaded, they were martyred for their faith. But in America, where we live today, there is somewhat of a stigma to sincere, radical Christianity. Why are you so serious about it? Why do you think you have to be separate from the world? Those are all things that carrying the cross will take serious, because we're carrying the death instrument of myself. And it's Christ that lives in me, not myself. We want to look at these four soil types. The first one is called the wayside ground. The birds came and devoured the seed. And maybe we could say it didn't have a chance to grow. And maybe that's what Jesus is talking about in verse 12. That those that maybe were interested in hearing the stories, but their heart was not prepared at all for the truth to gain root. I remember planting fields at home on the farm. And sometimes when you would put the drill down, some of it would be on the road and some of it would be in the field, and you'd start going. And there was a vast difference between the field and the road, the yield that that produced. The hard roadside never made it up more than a couple inches. The field made it up and made a crop. That's what he's talking about here, is that the soil is a vital part in God receiving honor and glory through mankind. And the question this morning for you and I is, what condition is my heart and the truth that is planted there? Is it like the wayside where truth falls on it? And maybe it bounces and it doesn't go in. It maybe springs up a little bit and then it burns out. It fades away. The reason for failure here, it says that here's the word, but Satan comes and takes away the word. And there's a spiritual truth that I'd like to remind us of, that depending on our heart condition, Satan has a power over us. I'd like to read an example of a... I'm not sure every one of these. I had an example in scriptures to read. I'm sure if we'll take the time in all of them. But in Jeremiah 36, I'd like to just look at this scripture. And look at King Jehoiakim. Begin reading in verse 12. Jeremiah 36 in verse 12 says, well, verse 11. When Micaiah the son of Jemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Eliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words they had heard when Barak read the book in the ears of the people. And maybe for a time we'll just skip some of this. They went and told King Jehoiakim the words that were read to them, God's word that was written. Jeremiah spoke them and the scribe wrote them down. We probably remember the story. And verse 20, and they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. Here we have an example of the seed falling on the wayside ground, where it did not yield the fruit that it was intended to yield. The second ground is the stony ground. It says that it's not much topsoil, enough dirt to sprout the seed, but not enough to have good roots. It scorched when the sun came up. The stony ground represents those who hear the gospel and feel inspired by its truth. And I'll read a quote. Though their senses are excited, they have no depth of understanding, no rich soil in which it may take root and grow. While suffering anxiety from sin, they respond to the attractive offer of God's mercy. The truth offers them peace of mind, pardon from sin, and salvation with eternal life. Believing, they are forgiven. Their anxieties seem to disappear, and temporary peace and happiness fills their lives. But they have no foundation upon which to support permanent joy. Their gladness soon subsides, as does their desire to live righteously. They begin to fade from God's truth because they have no real appreciation for Christ's sacrifice or the conviction to resist temptation or to endure trial and persecution. Because they exhibit no true repentance, it becomes evident that they are not true Christians. Excited human emotions carries them for a time, but it cannot sustain them through the long process of conversion. That's the picture of the stony ground. Here it says the reason for failure was that they have no root in themselves. They endure for a while, but when affliction or persecution ariseth, they are offended. Or they have the commitment isn't there to carry all the way through. And we can read the story of King Saul when he came back from the battle with the Amalekites. And he failed in obeying the word of God. And it seemed like the longer King Saul went, that the more his heart was lifted up in pride. And when he was little in his own sight, he followed God in mighty ways, but somehow he did not have the deep character when temptation came his way, and he fell away into pride and disobedience. Another example is 2 Timothy 4:10. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Forsaking, starting out, but forsaking. Starting out and enduring for a while, but giving up, is the picture that comes with stony ground. The third ground that it talks about here is thorny ground. Jeremiah said, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." We know the result of planting our garden in the weeds. It's going to be very difficult to control that. It says that the seed sprouted and grew, but also did the thorns. The thorns grew along with the seed, and the thorns choked the good seed and prevented it from yielding fruit. This morning, again, a remind us that we are looking inward at what heart condition I have before God. The reason it says here for failure is that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choked the word and it became unfruitful. It's serious to let things choke the word. And for an example of this, I have down here the story of Achan. And we know that story, I'm sure. How Achan saw the Babylonish garment, the wedge of gold and the silver. And he's an example of maybe the thorny ground, who let the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choke the commandment of God. And this morning, maybe we don't have a wedge of gold and silver hidden under our house. Maybe we don't have a Babylonish garment hidden under our house. But how is my heart condition? Are there thorns in my life that is choking the word? Is it selfish ambitions? Is it attention to how I look and the way I dress? Are you as sensitive to your conscience as you were when you were a new believer? Or are there thorns growing? Have you allowed some thorns to grow with the wheat? Attitudes, carnality, that is, you know, the Spirit has spoke to you about those things. When our conscience is tender, we are yielded to God, and it's evident in the choices we make. And you know, as time goes on sometimes in our Christian life, we may become more confident and maybe a little less sensitive to right and wrong, and we can allow small thorns to crop up. We cross lines that we never thought we would cross before. And it's thorns that are growing. And it's painful to pull thorns out. But it says that these will choke us spiritually. The fourth ground he speaks of here is the good ground. The reason here he gives for success is that they hear the word and receive it. And maybe that's a key also for verse 12, that those people, maybe they heard the word, but they didn't really receive it. But the good ground is a prepared ground. It's a ground that is just waiting for new truths of the word of God to fall there so they can grow and bear fruit for God. There was a soil condition that made the seed grow and produce good yield. Hear the word of God and receive it. And sometimes I'm that way too, that I hear truth, but it hurts a little bit too hard to actually receive it. You know, I know I should do this, or I know I shouldn't have attitudes like this. But maybe I back off of that attitude 90%, but there's still a little something there. And all you're doing is taking the thorn and the weed and breaking it off at the ground. You're not pulling the roots out of it. I'd like to read Acts 8, 26 to 40. It's a beautiful picture of a man that had good ground. Acts 8, 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom spake the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Here is a man that, when he was presented with the truth of the gospel, his heart was ready and eager to receive it. And yes, this was his initial responding to the call of salvation. But it's no less true of us 5 years down the road, or 10, or 30, or 50, that the heart condition that we have today and how the truth of the scriptures are yielding fruit, it will make a difference in in the yield that of the scriptures. What can we learn from this parable? What are some truths that God desires to have us understand? Jesus said here, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Meaning, there is something to glean from this parable. Jesus gave this parable for a reason. What made the difference in the yield in the different ground? I believe we've talked about this already, that it was the condition of the ground. And then again, the question for me is, what kind of soil does my heart have? How does my heart respond to tilling, to cultivating? How does my heart respond to weeding? When there's a thorn that needs pulled, it's painful, but how does my heart respond to that? How does it respond to picking out the stones? Have I done my part in preparing my heart? And finally, how is truth growing in my life? What is the spiritual condition of the of your heart, of the soul, that of the spiritual life of your heart? And as I contemplated this parable and I thought about this, I feel as God's people today, we struggle with stony and thorny ground more than the wayside ground. We have been taught as little up, Bible stories, stories that truth is implanted in us. We have godly parents, godly people in the church that have influenced us in choosing right way. And so the wayside ground, we don't see people sitting in church, and when I read the scripture, they're ripping the pages out of their Bible. They're not doing that like King Jehoiakim did. Yes, there are times when the truth, simply portions of the truth, maybe land on a stony heart, and it doesn't take root. There is that possibility. But I'm talking about, overall, I believe that looking at myself and situations, I believe the thorny ground and the stony ground are probably the more ones we should pay attention to. We try at times to cultivate around the stones and try to nurse the seed of life without removing the real issues. It will take a look at the soil of our heart, being honest with God, if we are to remove the things that really hinder growth of the gospel. We sometimes excuse thorns as personality, or as an age group, or even as a legitimate activity, such as business, instead of taking hold of the prickly thorn that hurts to pull, and weep with those that weep, and try to help them. How am I responding this morning to the Holy Spirit's desire to remove the stones from my heart, to remove the thorns from my heart? Are there some there? What are some stones in the stony ground? Causes of, I will call it, shallow Christianity, shallow Christians. In this parable, it says that they endure for a while, but when hardships arise, they give up. They're easily offended. Maybe it's not true repentance. Maybe it's more of an emotional experience. That when I'm alone and I know nobody is watching me, that when the temptation sweeps over me, the emotion of it is gone, and I'm trying to stand on my own power. Maybe it's an unbroken will where we have went through the right steps. And maybe we were truly broken, but at some point in life, we made a choice that I'm going to lay down the cross and I'm going to pick myself up again. And my will is no longer subject to the cross of Christ and to the truths of the Scripture. And maybe it's an emotional emphasis that we get from maybe various things. It can be feeling high on life when we listen to certain music. We can feel good when things went our way. We feel on top of it. Not anchored in Christ. When the storms of life around me beating, but the anchor is cast in Jesus Christ, and the boat may be tossed, is there room for stones in my heart when the storms of life come? Maybe it's bitterness, something that you hardly can accept. I have faced that. There's things that were really hard for me to accept. But I tell you, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, no matter what excuse we make, it doesn't matter what anybody else has done. If there's bitterness in our life, that's going to be what Jesus talks about. And it can come from a lot of different things. We all are different. We face different things. The Bible talks about bitterness, and we need to repent of that. What are some thorns in the thorny ground that produce non-productive Christians? Maybe we're a little better, if we can say that. Maybe we're a little better than the stony ground. There's not these rocks, the big issues that are there in my life. We have our family pretty much under control, and we have things there that are looking pretty good. But there are weeds there. There are thorns there. This parable talks about the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. Maybe there's an undue interest in a hobby. Maybe there's besetting sins that I face that are thorns, that are choking the word. It's choking me yielding fruit for God. Maybe it's disobedience. Any disobedience that we know, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I can't water that down. I can't say, well, if you know you're supposed to do something, it's kind of a good idea to do it. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, if you know that you're supposed to do something and you don't do it, it's sin. I don't know how else to say it. There's lure of the world that chokes digesting the word. One foot in the church and one foot in the world. That term has been said for years upon end. We can't have both. We can't have a section that's really good soil where the word of God, where the crop is really doing well, but the corner over here we didn't pay attention to and it's really thorny. That isn't going to work. God looks at the heart. If we offend in one point, we have offended all. That's what the Bible says. Do we have an attraction for things of this life? Hobbies, jobs, houses, business, vehicles, hunting. And I'm telling you that life is practical. And the day that we separate practicality from spirituality, we are starting to lose it. And yes, I understand there's various ways to look at things, and I give room for that. But I am asking you this morning, what has a hold of your heart? What is the soil condition of my heart this morning? What about the experiences I've experienced in the past? Reaction to that. Is that a thorn? Is that a thorn that's hindering me from really producing what God is calling me to produce? To yield fruit for Him? Or is it something that pricks me every time that we get close to that? What about pride? And I'm searching my heart with you this morning. I like it when people say good things about me. And I'll be honest with you, I think preachers face that, really. Reality is they face that. We want to be liked. And I've tried to take a very hard look at that in my own life. But finally, the thorn has to be pulled. It has to go. If I am going to be bearing fruit that God wants me to bear, is there anything that I do, anything that I say, any way that I act, anything that I'm wearing, that I know it's of pride? Are you willing to pull that thorn? Are you willing to remove that stone? We can think of jealousy and envy. It's another thorn. Proverbs says, who can stand before envy? Envy is a very deceitful and subtle thing that takes people places they had no idea they were going to go. Well, the question is, how would God have me to maintain good ground? There's two things I want to look at. Hosea 10, verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness on you. One way that God would have us to maintain good ground is to sense the urgency of the day, to sense the seriousness of life, and to sense that God is all important, for it is time to seek the Lord. And that's why we're here this morning. Is because we are laying our hearts out before God and we're letting Him touch maybe where it hurts most. That's what I'm trying to do. The second thing that God would have us do to maintain good ground is Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guarding the door of our heart. Guarding that. And it means to do things sometimes that eliminates pressures, eliminates temptations for me to be proud, for me to fall. And this morning, in council meeting. We call it examination. How have I been guarding the door of my heart? What have I let in the door of my heart? What's growing in the soil of my heart? Luke 6, verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And there is a Bible principle that what we have in our heart will be displayed through our actions, through what we say, through what we do. There's a direct relationship between those two things. What is the treasure of my heart speaking? Am I speaking things that yield fruit for God? Or does it not look so well? Do I need to remove some stones? Do I need to pull some thorns? I've pulled thorns already. And it's best to wear gloves to do that. It hurts the person that's pulling thorns, and it hurts to have thorns pulled. But this morning, for the purity of the church of Jesus Christ, it's not my church, it's not your church. This morning, the seriousness of it is that we are called to be the bride of Christ. We are called to be pure and holy people. How am I doing? Is there thorns there? Are there stones there? May God bless us as we continue to search our hearts. Let's be honest. Let's be willing and committed to having ground that God blesses in producing good fruit for Him. Let's kneel together for prayer.